Thanks, Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, February 7th, 2015. You are listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Gibbs Dube. Here are our top stories this evening. Five families that were displaced after some wild animals were moved into a farm in Mashonaland Central Province, being targeted for a game park by Zimbabwe's First Lady, have been given alternative pieces of land.
Those five farmers who were given offer letters, they were supposed to have been shown their pieces of land on Monday, and then it was postponed to Thursday. Now we understand from the clients that this process is going to be done on the 17th of this month.
The Consumer Council of Zimbabwe says its work is being hampered by lack of financial support.
We are so thankful for the money that we do get, but it's never nowhere nearly enough for us to be able to do the education and information and research that we need to do.
And Ghana clashed with Ivory Coast tomorrow in the finals of the African Cup of Nations. Stay tuned. Five families that were displaced after some wild animals were moved into a farm in Mashonaland Central Province, being targeted for a game park by Zimbabwe's First Lady, have been given alternative pieces of land. Attorney Tondirai Patasara, a member of the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights, who is representing the Arnold Farm or Manzo Farm settlers, says they are pushing the government to provide land for the rest of the 700 families. The Department of National Parks recently released 100 zebras into the farm, infuriating the villagers who are claiming that they are being forcibly removed by President Mugabe's wife, Grace. Patasara speaks to Studio 7's Blessing Zulu about the latest developments at Arnold or Manzo Farm.
Those five farmers who were given offer letters, they were supposed to have been shown their pieces of land on Monday, and then it was postponed to Thursday. Now we understand from the clients that this process is going to be done on the 17th of this month. So we are waiting for feedback from our clients to indicate whether they are happy with the land that they would have been allocated and shown by the officials from the Ministry of Land. As regards the other remaining farmers, they are still there at Manzo Farm. You recall that the last time when we were at court, we entered into a consent order in which it was ordered by the judge that the Parks and Wildlife Management Authority should make sure and ensure that there is no interaction or conflict between the residents, our clients, and the animals, the zebras that they had brought onto the farm. So we haven't received any complaints from our clients regarding that, and we are hoping that the respondents will abide by the order by consent which we entered into.
But what happens to the remaining families when it comes to the allocation of land?
That is a process which is work in progress, Blessing. We are still engaging the Ministry of Lands with the view that these people be allocated land as well.
That was Attorney Tondirai Patasara speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. The Consumer Council of Zimbabwe says its work is being hampered by lack of financial support, resulting in its failure to effectively run consumer education programs and related issues. Our correspondent Lloyd Amoyo has more details from Mutare.
The Consumer Watchdog's Executive Director, Rosemary Siachitema, told Studio 7 on the sidelines of a Consumer Protection Bill consultation workshop held at the Queen's Hall in Mutare that the organization is severely constrained owing to poor funding from central government. Apart from inadequate funding, the organization is so understaffed, resulting in the CCZ failing to handle consumer queries around the country, with educational programs being badly affected.
I suppose by virtue of being the only organization, in a country of about 14 million people where a vigorous consumer education, information, research is needed. For a whole country, 9 people is not enough.
She said funding from the Ministry of Industry and International Trade was inadequate to conduct consumer awareness and education as required by their mandate.
We are so thankful for the money that we do get, but it's never nowhere nearly enough for us to be able to do the education and information and research that we need to do for a country like ours.
Mrs. Chitema said it was imperative that consumer education was included in the school curriculum to help inform citizens on consumer rights, privileges, among others.
The Consumer Council has got no Zimbabwean law, the backing of it. All the time our work has been persuasive. Things like consumer protection, good practice is that there should be a law so that consumers have got a bedrock of law where they can look to for remedies and solutions, and where actually the flouting of consumer rights happen, there should be somewhere in law where it says that this is what's going to happen.
The Consumer Protection Bill, when passed into law, will lead to the establishment of a Consumer Protection Commission, CPC, a corporate that will have representatives from the Environmental Management Agency, EMA, the Farmers Association, the Ministry of Industry, the Competitions and Tariffs Commission, the Standards Association of Zimbabwe, and the Zimbabwe National Editors Forum, among others, to further the consumer's cause. The body will have powers to sue organizations and individuals as it seeks to protect consumers. Mutare resident and secretary of the Mutare Residents and Ratepayers Association, David Mtambirwa, said the Consumer Council of Zimbabwe's Consumer Protection Bill would go a long way in solving issues affecting the general populace, especially on the poor quality of commodities flooding the Zimbabwe market.
Consumer Protection Bill has come at a right time where the ordinary consumer has been abused for a very long time. It should be an eye-opener to both the service providers and the consumers. Apparently, it's very unfortunate that the implementers of this bill, they also own the means of production. But at the same time, it's a very necessary tool to alleviate the predicament in which the consumer was surviving for a very long time.
The CCZ is currently on an outreach mission informing Zimbabweans about the bill and seeking their views. Reporting for Studio 7 in Mutare, this is Reda Moyo.
Studio 7 is launching a new show, Live Talk The Connection, geared at our youth audience, and we want you to participate. If you are a youth, send us a message on WhatsApp. Our number is 001-202-465-0318.
Tell us what issues you want to hear. This is your show. So, let's know what's important to you. Use the hashtag #TheConnection when sending your messages.
And if you're on Facebook and Twitter, include the hashtag #TheConnection so we can follow the conversation together. Let's get connected on Life Talk, The Connection.
And it's now time for the Women's Forum.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum that highlights women's issues. My name is Sandra Nyaira. This evening, I'm standing in for Marvelous Mtlanganya Wiem. I was in Addis Ababa recently in Ethiopia, where I had the opportunity to meet with African Union Commission Chairperson Dr. Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma to discuss, among other issues, the theme of the summit, which was Empowering African Women in the Year 2015. In continuing our conversation, I asked Madam Dlamini Zuma to speak to challenges that she faced as a young girl trying to rise up the ladder to where she is right now from the time that she was in school.
Even at school, sometimes, especially when you get to secondary school and high school, sometimes the teachers, they are all male. Not that they discriminate against you, but you don't see a role model in them. It's good to see women in those institutions as well. But there were also just challenges, like from the time when I was young, I stood my ground on issues. But if you are a woman assertive. They'll say you are stubborn, you are this, you are that.
I know time is not on my side. I'll just ask one last question, if that's okay. At the Beijing conference, that, you know, it's now 20 years, and now we have the Declaration for Women in 2015 for Africa. What can women do more for themselves to move ahead?
Women can make sure that their children, particularly girls, go to school. Women should be more active in political parties, because those are the people who go and make decisions and make laws. We also need to encourage young people to enter all the areas that before were not for women, especially in the judiciary, because the judiciary is very important in terms of dealing with cases, whether of maintenance or whether of violence, domestic, sexual, in conflict or whatever. But generally, the judiciary is still not transformed in many of our countries. Mm. So we need to look at those areas. We need to look at the areas of finance. But also women should help one another and not say, I'd rather have a man than have that woman. Of course, if the woman is qualified, is fine for that position, we must push that woman rather than be jealous amongst ourselves or pull each other down. Doesn't mean that as a woman you have to not do your work and say, oh, because I'm a woman, it will be fine. No, it won't be fine. You must do your work properly, but women must support one another.
Always a pleasure, Madam Chair. I'm sorry, I know you've had a long day, but I truly appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Sandra Nyaira.
Next, an international public service announcement by the United States government.
On the night of September 11th, 2012, members of the Ansar al-Sharia terrorist group attacked two U.S. government facilities in Benghazi, Libya. Using machine guns, rocket-propelled grenades, and mortars, the militants targeted the U.S. Special Mission compound and a nearby annex in repeated assaults, killing four Americans, including the U.S. ambassador, wounding two more U.S. personnel, and three Libyan contract guards. Both facilities were destroyed. Rewards were offered, and an intensive search mounted for those responsible for the attack. On June 15th, U.S. military personnel arrested a key suspect in the operation, Ahmed Abu Katala. A senior leader of Ansar al-Sharia in Benghazi has been charged with murder and other charges and will be sent to the United States to stand trial. Others involved in the attack remain at large, and the United States will do whatever it takes to see that justice is done. Created after the fall of Libya's longtime ruler, Muammar Gaddafi, Ansar al-Sharia has been involved in many attacks in the region, targeting civilians and assassinating or attempting to assassinate security officials and political actors in eastern Libya. Its members continue to pose a threat to U.S. interests in Libya and have been designated as international terrorist organizations. Toward this end, the Rewards for Justice program is offering a reward of up to $10 million for information leading to the arrest or conviction of any individual responsible for the Benghazi attacks. The U.S. guarantees that all reports will be investigated and the identity of all informants will be kept confidential. If appropriate, the U.S. is prepared to protect informants by relocating them. If you have information on any of these individuals, contact the Regional Security Office at the nearest U.S. Embassy or the tip line at www.rewardsforjustice.net or email information to info@rewardsforjustice.net.
That was an international public service announcement by the United States government.
And finally, in sports news, Ghana clashed with Ivory Coast tomorrow in the final of the African Cup of Nations. But violence that gripped the Ghana-Equatorial Guinea match is still worrying soccer fans. Studio 7's Chris Kande speaks to sports commentator Ezra Chisasmanda about that game.
What happened in that match was so embarrassing for Africa and for football at large. Equatorial Guinea hosted this tournament because Morocco was banned for refusing all other countries to come to Morocco to play, citing the Ebola issue. Now, we are given a chance. Then you let your fans, with all the policing, we understand that the police officers and the people with security were from Zimbabwe, but with all that security, with the promised CAF, they failed to control the crowd. The crowd went berserk, beating Ghana supporters, which was embarrassing looking at that these matches were beamed all over the world. We thought Africa is above that, but it looks like we're still in the Stone Age.
What do you make of the handling of the match by the referee and his officials?
Referees from Africa, I don't know, like undermining referees from Africa, but they are poor, to be honest. They're very pathetic.
That was sports commentator Ezra Chisasbanda speaking with Studio 7's Chris Gande from Bulawayo. Meanwhile, the Harare West Pool 2015 League kicked off today as the sport starts gaining popularity, especially in some residential areas. League President Sikumbuzo Ncube tells Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyawuye the sport is attracting both young and senior citizens.
We are starting our league with 15 clubs.
Where are the clubs from?
The clubs are being formed in our locality. We started as Harare West, we were focusing the western side of Harare. But now each team is free to join us from different locations around Harare.
How popular is the sport of pool in Zimbabwe?
Very popular, because as I speak, there is no shopping center without a pool table. And they went further by introducing what we call outside shed, whereby each shop will find 3-4 tables. And to show that the sport is very popular, you find even the youngsters are competing on those tables.
When did the actual league start?
We started January 2011.
And who is the current champion of that league?
As of last season, Landana's Pool Club came number one out of 20 teams.
That was Harare West League President Sikumbuzo Ncube speaking with Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyawuye.
Studio 7 is launching a new show, Live Talk The Connection, geared at our youth audience, and we want you to participate. If you are a youth, send us a message on WhatsApp. Our number is 001-202-465-0318.
Tell us what issues you want to hear. This is your show. So, let's know what's important to you. Use the hashtag TheConnection when sending your messages.
And if you're on Facebook and Twitter, include the hashtag TheConnection so we can follow the conversation together. Let's get connected on Life Talk, The Connection.
That was the music of Togo Zani Zikali coming to you live from the Voice of America in Washington. Now to recap today's top stories. Five families that were displaced after some wild animals were moved into a farm in Mashonaland Central Province, being targeted for a game park by Zimbabwe's First Lady, have been given alternative pieces of land. And the Consumer Council of Zimbabwe says its work is being hampered by lack of financial support, resulting in its failure to effectively run consumer education programs. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Chris Gandhi. This is Kip Dube in Washington, D.C., wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.